enjoy that singing, say amen.
Amen.
Good stuff, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Bob, help yourself.
But 37 years ago, God took a crushed widow and a crushed man from divorce, put them together this week, 37
years ago. Amen, brother.
Amen. Took her to get me to a place where I could get saved, which I never knew anything about.
How about that? Amen.
God doesn't work in affairs of men. Somebody's lying.
Yeah.
Amen. Just need to open their eyes and ears.
Sure, brother.
He works in affairs of men all over this country. And we just need to be willing to listen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing. I believe first gospel message you heard, did you tell me that was from Brother Darrell Hayes? First gospel message you ever heard was from Brother Darrell Hayes. Boy, what a, boy, that's a good place to hear one. Amen. Thank God. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter number 16 tonight. Psalms chapter number 16. I won't keep you long tonight. Just want to try to encourage you just a little bit. Psalms chapter number 16. There is a general census among God's people that they're feeling kind of beat up and pushed down, and it ought not be that way. I told you three times already this week, right here on the buckle of the Bible Belt, I've heard pray for our church. It's falling apart at the seams. That shouldn't be. I can understand that in the great white north where maybe they've got a great Catholic influence. No great Bible teaching, maybe I can understand that, but where we have the King James Bible and we believe the Word of God, we have no excuse for our churches to be falling apart, so they say, at the seams. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are living in a place that has been truly blessed by God. Amen.
Amen.
If we're not careful, we will allow the devil to multiply or magnify circumstances in our life. You take everything good that God has done, and then you'll take those few little bad things that have come your way, and the devil will magnify them and cause you to dwell there and cause you to live in gloom and doom that you can no longer even see the goodness that God has done in your life. And I promise you tonight, if you put the goodness of God in one hand and the junk that the devil's thrown your way in the other, the goodness of God is far going to outweigh it. Amen. How many of you here tonight saved, say amen.
Amen.
How many of you have been able to see your children saved and baptized on their way to heaven? And we ought to put a hiatus on some of our complaining and some of our murmuring. There have been times at night, I don't know if I'm the only one who is this way, but I have a hard time going to sleep. I'm a night person. I'm a night owl. I go to bed because my wife does. It's not because I'm sleepy. And I'll lay there and I'll toss and turn. And you know what the devil will do? He'll put every negative thought and every bad thing and cause me to lay there and my mind will begin to go nuts. If you don't think the devil walks the portals of your mind and your thought process, you've got another thing coming. Amen. He'll cause you to focus on everything that is bad. And over the years, I've learned some things, not tricks or not, but I've learned some things to do to drive that sucker away and put him at bay. Amen. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms chapter number 16. Let's read some scripture tonight. The psalmist said, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Well, that's a good place to be, isn't it? He said, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is my portion, mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. He said in verse number 6, the lines are fallen unto me in, say the next two words with me, pleasant places. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You ought to just take your pen, and if you write in your Bible, some people said, I don't write in my Bible. I color in mine nearly about. But you ought to underline those that little phrase, I shall not be moved. There ought to be some things in your heart and some things in your life that have got you to such a resolute place that you can make up your, or that you can make that statement, I shall not be moved. Because of what God has done and because what God is doing, I'm not going to allow things from the outside and things the devil's throwing my way to cause me to move spiritually from where I am. Amen. I shall not be moved. In verse number 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. I'm telling you, it is a good thing to be a child of God. It is a good thing to be a Christian. Amen. People talk about enduring to the end, and I don't think salvation is just something we have to endure. I believe we can enjoy the journey. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I'm having a good time in the Lord. Amen. I'm enjoying seeing answered prayer. I'm enjoying seeing marriages salvaged. I'm enjoying hearing about teenagers being saved in Colorado. I'm enjoying the things of God. Amen. I'm looking forward to next Sunday, Brother Joe, when we get to preach to the little kids out there and have a good time with them and tell them about treasure that money can't buy. I'm looking forward to that. And if you're not enjoying your salvation, something's wrong. But the devil does have a way. I preach in churches. Y'all won't believe this, but I preach in churches where nobody ever smiles. They're the most uncomfortable, most miserable looking people on the face of the earth. Amen. Now you would think that somewhere in the Bible they found that smiling is a sin. Amen. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We ought to enjoy coming together. Hey, it's good for me to come in here on Sunday morning and see that you're still in the battle and see that you're still in the fight. Amen. That the devil hadn't claimed another one. That encourages me. We ought to take courage in that, and we ought to enjoy ourselves when we come to church. Amen. The preaching's been kind of thick and kind of maybe a little bit on the hard and corrective side. But I want to help you tonight to learn to dwell in pleasant places. To learn to dwell in pleasant places. The psalmist said the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I'm telling you, there are some pleasant places in the Lord. When they started singing that song a while ago, I believe. And in other words, what they were saying, all the stories I heard when I was a kid about Jonah and the whale and the three Hebrew boys in the fire. You know, I believe that stuff. It's not a little Sunday school lesson to me. It's real. Amen. I believe that stuff. Man, I find it pleasant to dwell in the stories of the Word of God. There's no excuse for us to suffer sleepless nights. Amen. Now, here's what I do. When the devil starts putting those thoughts in my mind, I can have one church problem, one difficult situation that I'm having to deal with out of 400 people. Got one complaint and got 399 and everything's fine. Guess where I'm going to put my focus? Guess where the devil draws all my attention? You can study all week and preach the best sermon you think you ever had to the teen church, to the junior church, to the children's church, have three or four young'uns get saved, have one snotty old parent complain about something you did. You will dismiss the salvation of the three that got saved. You'll dismiss the 35 that came in on your bus. You'll dismiss everything else. And the devil will cause you to dwell on that one thing. It surprises me the things and the reasons that I've heard over the years of people getting out of church. You should hear some of the stories. And I'll be honest with you, it's tempting to write a book and show you how stupid people are. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Somebody ought to. Man, you're an idiot if you'll quit God over some little hurt feeling or some little problem in the church, something you didn't agree with, and you're just going to dismiss everything God's done, saving your worthless soul, keeping your children out of hell, salvaging your marriage, and somebody said something about you, and you're going to quit God? Amen. I'll lay there in my bed and toss and turn a few times, and all of a sudden it'll hit me, you idiot. You idiot. You're laying here fretting over one person being disgruntled, over one person talking about you, or one person trying to stir a mess in the church. But not one time have you laid here on this pillow and thanked God for the people who prayed for you this week. Can I get a witness? Don't tell me the devil ain't never crawled up on your pillow. If he hadn't, you're probably not saved.
That's right.
You probably don't even know God if there ain't no spiritual warfare going on in your life. I'm telling you, it's a war at my house, and Sister Angie ain't got nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Amen. I'll go home on Sunday night, worst night tonight, worst night of the whole week. My mind is full of everything that happened this morning, everything that happened this afternoon, everything that happened tonight, and my mind's racing. I'll lay there on the pillow tonight, and I'll begin to rehearse and recap and go over it. And I do this in my mind. I play mind games. I wonder, and I visually, I look at this church, and I go, I wonder where so-and-so was. And I wonder where so-and-so was. And the devil says, they're mad. They're mad. You hurt their feelings last Sunday, and they ain't never coming back again. There are people that I counseled with this week and they didn't show up today, and the Lord and the devil crawl up on that pillow and say, uh-huh, you really helped them, didn't you? You really helped them, brother. You such a good pastor, you counseled them right on out of the ministry. I'm telling you, I'm going to deal with that tonight. That's probably why I'm preaching to me. The devil will cause you to major on the minors, won't he do it? And what we need to learn to do is realize that the lines are falling unto us in pleasant places. In other words, the good far outweighs the bad. And brother, when you start reminding the devil of all the good God has done and all the blessings that he's allowed to come your way, that sucker will tuck tail and run, and you can sleep like a baby.
Amen.
Amen. I had nightmares last night. Bad nightmares. Stuff in here. It's bad. It's bad. And that Lord didn't have nothing to do with that. I'm talking about it's wicked. But I woke up and I prayed. In the middle of the night, I said, God, please, drive these thoughts out of my head. You ever wake up and a dream was so real? You dream something about your wife and it's so weird, so real, you're mad at her the whole day, and the poor gal ain't done nothing? I've had my wife not speak to me for days, man, over a dream she had. I thought, it was a dream.
Amen.
Well, if I dreamed it, there must be something to it. Amen. No, that's wicked. Amen. Are y'all listening? I woke up in the middle of the night last night. I said, God, you're going to have to help me take these old evil thoughts out of my mind. The devil done slipped in my sleep. Lord, help me to dwell in some pleasant places. And I just laid there on my pillow and got to thinking about the goodness of God. Got to thinking about some things I've seen God do in some of your lives. And boy, before I knew it, there was a smile on my face and a song in my heart. Somebody said, what happened after that? The alarm clock went off. It was time to get up and come to Sunday school. Amen. In other words, that uneasiness and that unrest, when I begin to think about the things God had done, and I chose to, listen, you live where you choose to live.
Right.
I'm talking about inside here. You live where you choose to live. You can focus on the negative all you want. And some people, that's what they live for. Yeah. If you don't have something to gripe about, if we took all your complaining out of your conversation, you'd be the quietest person in this church.
Yeah.
If you never complained anymore and you never murmured and grumbled and you never backbit and gossiped, you shut up all of that and cut out 90% of your conversation. That'd put a blank wall on your Facebook, wouldn't it? Somebody help me. Ain't that what you call it, the wall? That your wall would be blank, amen? If you didn't have nothing to complain about. I believe it's wicked. I believe it's a sin. God's people who are saved by grace allow the devil to use us to give testimony for him. Amen. When I grew up in church, there were certain people, if they stood up to testify, I was a kid and I had sense enough to know. If they stood up and said, "Preacher, I want to testify," I was like, "Oh, Lord." Amen. Oh, God. It would never fail. And I mean, the Lord would be moving in the service. People would be coming to the altar, and they'd stand up and kill a whole service. You ever have anybody like that?
Yeah.
Glenda, we had one at White Oak when we were little, and I forget the guy's name, but you remember Brother Lincoln Cole. Brother Lincoln and Mildred Cole were sitting behind me and my mama. Lincoln was a deacon. He's in heaven now. And that old guy stood up. I'm talking about people was getting saved. I mean, it was one of them, sure enough, thick meetings, and God was moving. And that old rascal stood up and said, "Brother Charles, I just want to say a word." And Lincoln fell down in the floor right there in his pew and said, "God, shut him up if you have to kill him. Choke him if you have to. I don't care. God is my witness." That old man's doing... Started choking right there. Mama turned around, looked at him, said, "Boy, I knew you could pray, but I didn't." Amen. Amen. Brother, listen, we don't come to church to brag on the devil.
That's right.
Amen. We come to church to brag on the Lord. He said, "Come, let us exalt his name together." Yes. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Hey, we're not here to brag on the devil of what he's done. Listen, I know we fight battles, and I know we have struggles, and I know we have trials. Hey, but God is bigger than all of them put together.
Amen.
And we ought to just choose to live in pleasant places.
Amen.
Well, so-and-so did something I agree with. Well, join the real world, friend. Somebody said something about me. Join the Some Somebody Said Something About Me club. If you stay in this church long enough, somebody's going to talk about you. Man, I never heard a pastor say that about his church. I realize I pastor people who are stupid.
You're right.
And we do stupid things.
Amen.
You want me to really blow your mind? I've had to ask God to forgive me more than once. Somebody's going, "Oh, who did he talk about?" Every last one of you. Can y'all handle that much honesty?
Amen.
Don't tell me you ain't ever talked about me, you lying dog. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Only good things.
Only good things. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I got some swamp land I want to sell you in Montana. Amen. Listen carefully. We ought to choose to live in pleasant places. Amen.
Amen.
We used to sing that little song when I was a kid, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand." Son, some of y'all ought to be happy and you ought to know it.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to be happy and you ought to know it. If you're not happy, why? Why? Listen, happiness shouldn't depend on whether your bills are paid.
That's right.
I give a testimony this morning about my income taxes going to get paid. Amen. Or actually getting back and not having to pay. My property tax is getting paid. Man, I was worried about that. But, buddy, it wasn't taking my joy.
That's right.
Amen. What's that old saying? You can't get blood out of a turnip. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But, man, God just took care of that. You know why I believe he took care of that? Because I didn't stop praising him one lick. Because
yeah.
my happiness does not depend on my income taxes. My happiness does not depend on my bills. My happiness is not a state of being. It's a state of mind, man.
Yes.
Amen. It's not what I have. It's who I have.
Amen.
It's who I know. Amen. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I went to Brother Joe Authors yesterday for there, and I've got some points. I'll get to them in a minute. My wife and I went to Brother Joe Authors yesterday, and she decided she's my navigator when she travels with me. It's odd I can get places without her. I've been traveling the country, preaching all over the place all these years, but when she's with me, I have to have a navigator.
Yeah.
Y'all bunch of cowards. I can't get one man in here to say amen.
Amen.
I manage to get places all by myself, but when she's with me, I got to have somebody give me directions. Amen. They ought to hear her tell it. It's a whole lot faster just to go to Atlanta and hit 75 than it is 285 to Jonesboro, and blah, blah, blah. So we go 75. And I believe God had a little something to do with that. We got off 20 and going through where all them bridges do like this. I looked over to the left, and there's about 8 tents. I'm talking about pup tents. You know what I'm talking about? Like you camp out in. But these people weren't camping. These people were living. Started to roll down the window and say, "Hey, is your well working?" I'm helping you, said. Y'all listening? Wonder how their central heat was working last night. Wonder where they plugged up their electric blanket. And I looked at those people out there living under the bridge. Somebody says, "Well, most of them, they made their bed and they're laid in." I know, you can have all that judgmental junk in your head if you want to.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
The only difference between you and them is the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Some of them may have put themselves in that situation. Some of you were well on your way for God in advance. Some of you were well on your way to a homeless junkie before God intervened with your life. It's by the grace of God you ain't camping. Hey, that's a luxury to some of them guys to have a tent. Man, I'm driving down the road. I looked at my wife. I said, "You know what we're doing in a little while?" She said, "Yeah, I know. We got to go to Brother Joe's. We're going to eat, and you got to preach, and we got to hurry back and get to ours." I said, "No, after that." I said, "We're going home." Let me say that again. We're going home to a dry place and a warm place. And don't let the devil take everything that's wrong and cast doubt on everything that's good. And let's make up our mind we're going to dwell in pleasant places. Amen. Listen, what pleasant places? Verse number 7, where we bless the Lord. Where we bless the Lord. I believe that's an obligation of a Christian. Look at verse number 7. In verse number 6, he said, "The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." He said in verse number 7, "I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord." It's hard to grumble when you're blessing the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. It's hard, I mean, to look at your bills and go, "Hallelujah, praise God, we ain't got no money." Amen. It's hard to have a fight with your wife while you're praising God and thanking God. Hey, buddy, I have never bit my wife's head off after getting off my knees thanking God for a good, godly wife. Lord, thank you for giving me a wife, God, one that loves my children and taught my children right, one that have taught my children the Word of God. I thank God for that stuff. God, thank you for a wife who's been faithful. Thank you, God, for a wife who prays for me every day. Thank you, God, for a good wife. And then get up from that and be in a bad mood with her? It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm talking about we ought to dwell in a place where we bless the Lord. Amen. He's been good to you. We ought to bless him. First part of verse number 7 said, "For his counsel."
Yeah,
for his counsel. God's given us good counsel.
Yes,
amen. God gives me counsel through his word. You say, "Preacher, I'm in a situation and I don't know what to do." Listen, I don't mind you asking my advice. I'm just worried that you have to so much.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Can I say that again? I don't mind that you ask my advice. I'm just worried that you have to so much. Have we spoiled you so much that you can't open this book and find some answers for yourself? What are you going to do if God calls you to the mission field? And you're the preacher. Are we okay tonight? What are you going to do? I ain't got Skype. What got quiet on me? Listen, I ain't going to be available 24/7. Brother Freddie ain't always going to be there. You better learn to open that book and find some counsel for your own. Amen. Let me teach you a good word, concordance. Dictionary. Help you search the scriptures. Amen. Amen. God has given me good counsel. Every major decision in my life, listen carefully, God has given me scripture confirmation. I worry about these people who make major life-changing decisions, and I ask them what scripture. Well, God hadn't given me no scripture. Well, how did he confirm you're supposed to make this big move? Well, I've been praying about it, and I heard somebody just mention something about it on Facebook. I figured it must be God. Are you really that shallow?
Yeah.
Brother, I live in pleasant places. Amen. Where I bless the Lord for his counsel. If it weren't for the counsel of God, this church would be like one of the 20 in our area that has no pastor, that is falling apart by the seams. But I'm glad for 20 years God has led us, and God has kept us, and God has guided us, and everything I've ever needed God has given me through his word. Amen. Hey, brother, there's been midnight hours. Y'all remember the message I preached years ago, casting all your care upon him for he careth for you? Y'all remember that? Y'all know where I got that? That message came on a Saturday night in the wee hours of the morning. I was resigning Sunday. My intentions were to call him and Brother Robert Upton into my office on Sunday morning and say, this is my last day. God is my witness. That's been 17 years ago. I'm still here. I'll never forget that night as a young preacher with that little old Schofield Bible laying on my kitchen table. Tears falling down my face in the wee hours of the morning, trying to convince God that I can't go on. That I can't do this another day. I've had all I can take. This is too much for me. It's more than I can bear. And I'm praying and begging God. Here's what I said. I'll never forget as long as I live. God, if you don't help me now, I'm done. And I was just flipping through the Bible. And I wasn't doing the fickle finger of faith. You better be careful of that. I was just flipping through the Bible, and I hit 1 Peter chapter number 5. And for some reason, that verse was highlighted in bright orange highlighter. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And in the midnight hour, God magnified his word, and God spoke to my heart. You know what? Sunday morning, I didn't even have that discussion with Brother Charles. He had to hear it later in a sermon illustration. He never knew I was about to resign. Are you listening? I'm saying God counseled me. When I thought I couldn't go on, God used his word to show me I could go on. When I thought I was fighting the battle all by myself, God showed me in the midnight hour that I was not alone and I was not all by myself, and that he was with me and he would fight my battle. Amen. You better learn to dwell in pleasant places where we bless the Lord for his counsel. Then he said he gave me instruction. We ought to bless the Lord for his instruction and his correction.
Amen.
There's no telling how many times God has had to pull the reins on me and say, whoa. Whoa, boy, right there. Whoa. Whoa. If God doesn't correct you, you don't know him. I'm not judging your salvation, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't mess with you,
come on, preacher.
He won't even hardly let me watch TV.
Yeah.
Y'all listening?
Yes,
sir. Something will be said. You ought to turn that channel right now.
Yeah.
Just cut the stupid thing off, amen?
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Yes.
Thank God for his correction. Thank God for his correction. Man, I made a lot of stupid mistakes as a young preacher. I'm glad I learned to listen to the voice of God when he said, whoa, uh-uh. Settle down. Go home. Chill out. Think before you speak.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I remember as a young preacher going after a fellow. Oh, yeah, I'm going after him on the steps of our church at White Oak Springs. I was going across this way, and the man was standing about three steps down. I done pictured in my mind, I'm diving off on his head, and I'm going to beat him till he can't breathe right there because he messed with my preacher.
Yeah.
I was fit to kill him.
Amen.
I mean that with all my heart. I was fit to kill that rascal. That's my man of God.
That's right.
I'm in a blind rage. I can't even think. I'm running across them steps. And all of a sudden, this little short, fat man grabbed me, picked me up, plumb off the ground. I probably look like Barney Five, amen? The little wormy thing, legs are dangling in there. Let me go, let me go. It was my preacher. He said, settle down, son. It'll be all right. Just settle down. Amen. Thank God for correction. Amen. I bet Brother Earl's thinking, what are you going to do if you get hold of him? Amen. The sucker's going to know I'd been there. Amen. Thank God he corrects us when we're stupid.
Yeah.
Amen. When we're about to make bad decisions. I've told some people this week, brother, you pray for a clear answer and clear direction from God before you make another move. Before you make another move. If I had the people in this church who were out because of one bad decision, we couldn't fit them in here tonight, Brother Freddie. The choir would be full, the balcony would be full, if just those who are completely out of church over a bad decision. One they tried to convince me God was in. And I knew all along it wasn't. Those that are out of church tonight over a bad relationship that they should have never entered to begin with. And they come to the preacher and say, what do you think about this? And I tell them, and it's too late. They've already set a date. Why ask? If you've already set a date, don't ask me what I think. Just for future reference, if you've already set a date and you've got your wedding planned, don't come ask my permission. Or my blessing. Just go on and do it. And by the way, just go ahead and justice of the peace too.
Yeah.
Let me smile real big right there. Y'all all right? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Some of y'all look a little squeamish. But man, we ought to think more about a decision that big. We ought to put more, prayer and more effort into a decision that big. Amen.
Absolutely.
We ought to bless the Lord. We ought to bless the Lord for his counsel, for his correction. What other pleasant places? Where we set the Lord always before us. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. He said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. How about that? If you put the Lord in his rightful place, you're not going to die in depression. If you'll put the Lord in his rightful place, you're not going to eat the business end of a 38.
You're right.
If you'll put the Lord in his rightful place, you're not going through divorce court.
You're right, preacher.
You're not going to help cause a church split.
Amen.
If you set the Lord in his rightful place. Amen. How dare any of us rise up and cause to cease what God's doing in this place? I don't want that on my head.
Amen.
I don't. There are people in this church right here tonight could stand up and bear witness to you. Growing up, we've seen people stand in church and scream at one another from one side to the other.
Amen.
I remember 2 months after I got saved watching half of my church, my home church that I love with all my heart, get up and walk out the door. God was not within a million miles of that. I didn't know what to do. I'd just been saved. I said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? I love that crowd that left. I love this crowd that stayed. Still do to this day. I'm friends with all of them. The Lord said, you just sit still. You just sit still. Had one crowd over here going, yang, 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 yang. Another crowd over here going, yang, 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 yang. God said, pay attention to me, son.
Yeah.
Don't listen to neither one of them idiots. I wonder how many people went to hell on account of that junk.
Yeah, you're right, preacher.
missed hearing the gospel of God because the church couldn't get along with each other. And that stuff's going on all over the place today. Who is setting the Lord always before? Everybody's got their own agenda about this and their agenda about that. Now listen, if I come in here next Sunday with an NIV, leave.
Amen.
Run me off or leave.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If I come in here with my ear pierced and I have a rock band and we have one of them little clear pansy waist podiums up here. I like old school, friend. I like a pulpit. Amen. You come in here and you see a bar stool and I'm wearing a turtleneck and flip-flops. Leave and take as many with you as you can.
Amen.
But as long as we're preaching this book and we got our doctrine right, yes, and we're standing for the old time religion and the things of God, we can get over everything else.
Amen.
Amen. I understand the reason some people are leaving these joints. And that's about what they are, is a joint. Amen.
Right.
Used to be at church one time. Now it's just become a joint, a place where people hang out. Anyway, I don't want to get off on all that. But we ought to dwell where we set the Lord always before us. We have the most noble companionship. The most noble companionship. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have the most noble companionship. I have the King of kings and the Lord of lords who walks with me day in and day out, who talks with me, who sings me to sleep every night, who wakes me every morning. Hallelujah, that's my partner.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to live like we walk with God. I remember a day when you get around God's people and you could tell who had been with God.
You're right, preacher.
Amen. You remember when Moses went and spent some time with God?
Yeah.
And he come down off that mountain, they said, ooh, he looks different.
Yeah.
You'll look different too.
Yes, right.
I'm not saying your face will shine, but your face will shine.
Yeah.
Am I stretching it too far, Brother Charles? I believe your face will shine.
Yeah.
You'll look different. Remember we talked about praise? The Bible said it's comely. It make you look better.
Amen.
You'll look better when you've been spending time with God. You'll look better when you're prayed up. You'll look better when you're fast up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Right. Half of y'all coming here on Sunday look like the dog that just ate the baby chickens.
Yes, sir.
That's right, ain't it? Amen. A little old Labrador retriever that died last year. Hey, buddy, if something was tore up in the yard, I'd just look at her and she'd go. She knew, boy. That's the way y'all look some Sundays.
Yeah.
Don't hide, just fess up.
Amen.
Amen. We have the most noble companionship. Amen. Amen. Listen, we have the holiest example. Brother Eddie, I just don't know what to do. Don't ask me, ask Jesus what he'd do. I remember a few years ago, everybody wearing them little rubber band bracelets. Y'all remember them? Men ought not to do such stuff. Just my opinion. I just think jewelry is for women. I don't care if it's rubber. I don't care what it's made of. I don't care what it says on it. Some guy from New York, matter of fact, it's where I'll be this week, gave me this little bracelet. I was riding down the road, and I was driving. He was sitting there talking to me. I noticed he had one of them rubber bracelets on his hand, and it had little different symbols on it. I said, what is that? He said, it's a witness bracelet. I said, what's that for? He said, people ask you what it means, and you tell them this is for this and this is for this. He said, you need one. I said, no. Sure enough, that night in the service, he brought me one. And I stuck it in my pocket.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, Pastor Wyatt, aren't you going to put it on? I said, I'll wear it later.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's got the whole King James Bible on it. I ain't wearing a bracelet. Amen. Anyway, how'd I get off on that? Anyway, some of y'all men looking squeamish.
Yeah.
I remember when my buddy wanted a pierced ear. And I pierced his ear. Guess where we got his earring? Out of my sister's jewelry box.
That's right.
Anyway. Y'all just smile. It'll be all right. Everybody wore those bracelets. What'd they say? WWJD. What would Jesus do? I asked a kid in a church one day. I said, what's that bracelet really mean to you? You know what that boy looked at me and said? We want Jack Daniels. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And he started laughing. He said, oh, I'm just kidding. I said, no, you're not. It wouldn't have come out your stinking mouth.
That's right.
Amen. If that thing's really supposed to mean what would Jesus do, and you come across that saying something like that sitting in the house of God, that's borderline blasphemy, friend.
Amen.
I know there ain't nothing scriptural or spiritual about that stupid bracelet. It's a rubber band. But if it's supposed to stand for one thing and you twist it into something else, you're twisted yourself.
That's right.
Amen. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Why don't you seek the Word of God and see how Jesus handled it?
Yes.
Had a man call me this week. He's visited our church. He said, preacher, this has happened, and I've gotten this situation, and it's another brother in the Lord not doing me right. In other words, maybe, be careful, loan somebody some money and they're not paying me back, blah, blah, blah. What should I take them to court? That kind of thing. I said, brother, why don't you just open your Bible? Well, just tell me where to read, preacher. I said, all right. And I gave him some references. You know the references I gave him? I took him everywhere. That old Sanhedrin and them old Pharisees, every time they come accusing the Lord. I said, just see how he responded. Amen. Well, he said, what would you do? I said, well, I'll tell you how I operate. I said, I've loaned money a time or two. But in my mind, it's not a loan, it's a gift. And I mean that with all my heart. I don't care if it's $50 or $5,000. If I loan you $5,000, as far as you're concerned, it's a loan. As far as I'm concerned, it's a gift.
You're right.
In other words, if I never get it back, it was a gift anyway.
Yeah.
Amen.
But if God does bless you and I'm able to get it back, hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't come see me after church. I do not have $5,000. Y'all was making plans, wasn't you? They was taking rock, paper, scissors on who's first. Amen. I saw that over there. Amen. We've got the holiest example. Just read your Bible, man. I don't know why I keep getting there, but it'll change the way you look at things.
That's right.
It'll change the way you look at things. We've got the noblest companionship. We have the holiest example. Listen, listen. We've got the sweetest fellowship. We have the sweetest fellowship if we set the Lord always before us. We have the sweetest fellowship. I feel sorry for people who don't really have a relationship with Him.
Amen.
I know preachers, bless their heart, their relationship with Jesus Christ consists of a bunch of stinking rules.
You're right.
I mean, you can't even cut up with them. They're so... You tell them something funny and they just look at you. I don't want to be around you. I don't even want to be around you. Neither does the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sire puss. Amen. Amen. I was preaching in a meeting. Matter of fact, it's the meeting where I'm going this week. Me, Brother Jonathan McNeese, y'all know Brother Jonathan, Brother Tony Shirley, Brother Hal Roscoe, we're all sitting at a table eating together. And this is a big meeting. There'll be 2,000 people there. And the restaurant was full of people from that meeting. Well, we just act like we're the only people in the place. And me and Brother Jonathan and Brother Tony, me and Brother Tony's dangerous. But we really are. It's not a good thing. We should only be allowed a couple of times in a year together. But we have too much fun. And one of the young people was in that meeting, walked by. You know what he said? He had his Bible in his hand. He said, Brother Eddie, will you sign my Bible? I said, I'd be glad to. He said, you know what? He said, I've been sitting over there watching y'all, and Brother Tony kicked me up on the table. He said, I just realized y'all just real people too, ain't you?
Amen.
We didn't do anything wrong. We were loud. We were heavily riding Tony Shirley. Amen. That's in the book. I wrote it in mine. Amen. Thou shalt persecute Tony Shirley. Amen. Amen. I don't want people to think we're on some other plane. Oh, man, we're people too. Amen. Amen. We have the sweetest, sweetest fellowship. We have the mightiest influence. He said he's at our right hand, and we shall not be moved. We shouldn't be moved by fear. We shouldn't be moved by force. We shouldn't be moved by fraud. In other words, wrongdoing. Somebody done you wrong. It shouldn't move you spiritually.
Right.
You need to understand people are going to do you wrong.
Yes, sir.
You've been promised that in the Word of God.
Amen.
You're not always going to get the fair deal.
Yes.
Because you pray and because you go to church doesn't mean you're going to get the promotion on the job. It's probably going to be the one that goes out drinking with the boss.
Right,
it's probably one that goes out with the strip club with the boys.
Yeah.
They'll probably get promoted over you, but don't get mad at God for that.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Make up our mind. We're not going to be moved by fear, by force, by fraud, by fickleness. People are fickle. You remember old Barney said, they're fickle, fickle, fickle. You remember that? I'm an Andy Griffin guru. Amen. Fickle, fickle, fickle. That's what people are. They're fickle. Amen. Fickle. That means they got a funny bone that anywhere you touch them, you hit it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We ought to live in pleasant places where we bless the Lord, where we set the Lord always before us. Verse 9, I'm done. Where our heart is glad. Where our heart is glad. He said, therefore. Therefore means what I'm about to say is because of what I just said. Is that right? What I'm about to tell you, I'm saying because of what I've already said.
Yes, sir.
What have I already said? The lions are falling in pleasant places.
Yes.
And I've set the Lord always before me. Therefore.
Amen.
Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We ought to dwell in pleasant places where we bless the Lord, where we set the Lord always before us, and where our heart is glad. Listen, we can rejoice in the Lord. We sing that little chorus, oh, rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. How often should we rejoice? The Bible says always. Amen? We ought to be a rejoicing people. Hey, tell me right quick, what did Granny Fuller used to say? Praise God anyhow. Amen? Pray, that might be a little too southern for some of y'all. Didn't matter what was going on. Granny said, praise God anyhow. In other words, rejoice, man. Rejoice. You got more to praise about than you do to whine about.
Amen.
Amen. You've got more to praise God about than you do to whine about.
Amen.
We can rejoice in the Lord. And I like that last part. He said his flesh could rest in hope. Can rest in hope. Man, I'm telling you, there's too many pleasant places for me to dwell. Than to dwell on what's wrong.
Amen.
Who's mad. I tell you, some of y'all don't like all this preaching about Facebook. But you know what? It stopped. Ain't nobody come to me in months and said, I read this on Facebook or I read that. At least it kept you from telling me about the junk.
Amen.
Serious, that's been a blessing to me. I ain't had to hear it one time.
Amen.
I think somebody got to the hint. He don't want to hear it. Amen. He don't want to hear it. Hallelujah. And I don't have to. Amen. I believe some people, I ain't got nothing to do with Facebook, but some people, that's where you dwell.
You're right.
That's where you dwell. I got on to a dear preacher friend of mine about that junk. I mean, I got on his case. He's a little younger than me, so I felt the Lord gave me liberty. I said, you need to get right with God and quit that junk. The whole time you're talking with him, the whole time you're eating with him, the whole time you're trying to fellowship, he's updating Facebook. I said, man, you'll quit that junk. Yeah, that stuff's got you wrapped up, man.
You're right.
Y'all okay? They're addicted to it. They sure are. That's where they're dwelling, man. You dwell on what people say and do on Facebook. It'd do you a world of good. Boy, I'm praying God to convict some people around here.
Yeah.
That they'll just go home and do away with it.
Amen.
You'd be all right without it.
You're right.
You really would? Hey, look here, I'm 48 years old. Ain't never had it. I'm doing good.
Amen.
I don't have a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I'm not on any medication. I'm doing okay without Facebook.
Amen.
Amen. My mother gives me fits. Son, now you know I just look at the grandbabies. I know. If that's all it was, it'd be fine. But you got to read all that negative junk too. Y'all know it's true. When you read it, it affects your spirit. And then you still, instead of dwelling in pleasant places, you're dwelling in evil wickedness that people are writing on Facebook. Y'all seen that commercial? About that girl said they can't put lies on the internet. y'all know what I'm talking about? What is it? Yeah, the guy's asking her something. She said, oh, yeah, I read it on the internet. She said, how? He said, how you know it's true? She said, oh, you can't lie on the internet. And then her date shows up. And he's this big, dumb, redneck oaf. And she says, oh, this is my date. I met him on the internet. He's a French model. And he looks at her and says, bonjour. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in at the end, man. That stuff's wicked. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Dwelling in pleasant places. Brother Todd, you come. Amen. I hope y'all have a good week. Amen. Hey, can I challenge you? How many of you got to go to work tomorrow? Man, that's about everybody here. How many of you got to go to work? Now let me ask you another question. Listen, how many of you work with somebody that you've got a feeling might be lost?
Yeah.
The track rack is full. Help yourself. Let's be a witness this week. I want to encourage you to be a witness. I'd like to get a phone call tomorrow. Say, hey, preacher, just wanted you to know, I witnessed one of my co-workers. He got saved. Wouldn't that be good? Well, we can't witness at church, at work. We'll get in trouble. Slide a track under the bathroom stall while they're in there. Captive audience, amen? Amen. Let's be a witness to somebody this week. Be a blessing to somebody this week. Amen. Walk in tomorrow. Walk into work tomorrow. Make up your mind before I gripe about it being Monday. Before I gripe about having to go back to work, I'm going to be thankful that I got a job. And I'm going to go to work tomorrow and I'm going to tell somebody God's good. Go in and tell somebody about Anthony tomorrow. Go in and tell somebody about people getting saved. Go tell somebody about three getting saved in Colorado. Brag on the Lord tomorrow. He'll bless you. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Yes, Levi. Brief Sunday school teachers meeting right after church. Brother Charles' Sunday school class. Right down the hall, Sunday school teachers. All right. Thank you. Shake somebody's hand. Y'all have a good week.